if you would please stand, all those who have served or are now serving our country in military service. Thank you. Give them a hand. Thank you. Thank you so much. You may be seated. We want to acknowledge that we might not have your information in the bulletin because we always try to honor vets with just a notice of who they are and what years they served and what branch of service they were in. And if you haven't given us that information yet, we'd encourage you to do that so that we can get that updated for our records. And we certainly do always want to honor all of our veterans here. As we think about Veterans Day and giving thanks to them, expressing thanks as we should. And I'm so pleased that in our country today, at least, veterans are getting more honor than it seems like they did many, many years ago. That there's more acknowledgement for their service and appreciation expressed, and I thank God for that. Now, as we thank them, we always want to thank God for them. Always want to do that, because every blessing that we receive, and even the freedom that we enjoy that so many have served to make sure that we have that freedom, again, all thanks, all gratitude needs to go to God, even for their service. And we're thinking about that and continuing with this series we began for this season of Thanksgiving. I want to call your attention to two passages of Scripture. One of the things we're going to see in them is this continued theme throughout Scripture to always be giving thanks to God. Last week we looked at Psalm 107, the idea of the redeemed, those who've been delivered, rescued at whatever level they have been, that they should always express thanks and gratitude to God because He is good and His loving kindness endures forever, forever. We're going to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 5 for starters this morning, looking at that text. That's page 680 in your pew Bibles, if you'd like to look there. We're going to be looking at two verses there, though. But if you want to follow along, that's great. Also, if you have brought your own Bible, that's wonderful. Or if you have a device that you want to follow along with, that's also just great to do that. As we said last week, sometimes not just hearing, reading for ourselves, is helping us to retain this wonderful word from God. Beginning in verse 13 of chapter 5 of 2 Chronicles, we read this. Well, I guess I should give you the background. What's happening here is that the temple has been finished. Solomon's temple has been finished. And they have just moved the Ark of the Covenant, is where God's presence was so often revealed, from the tabernacle, that temporary temple, if you will, to this more permanent structure. That's just been done. And in verse 13 of our text, it says, the trumpeters and musicians joined in unison to give praise and to, what's the word? Give thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, the singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, He is good. His love endures forever. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud. And the priests couldn't perform their service because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. Now, did you notice that thanksgiving praise opened the gates to the presence of God? Did you notice that? It was praise of thanksgiving. Thanks to the Lord. They were praising. And, if you will, the presence of the Lord was ushered in with that. I think that's pretty neat. So much so did that happen that the priests weren't able to fulfill their function, able to do their duties. I wonder what that was like. Imagine that. The priests kind of got a day off from the idea of being mediators for the presence of God because the presence of God was so thick in their midst. What was it like? Was, again, the cloud just so dense that they couldn't see to perform their duties? Was that what was going on? You're like, whoa, they couldn't see? Or did it cause their eyes to water? I wonder. Or were they just so overwhelmed with the glory of God that their routine was interrupted and they were just, you know, so filled with emotion that they just couldn't do what they normally did? I don't know for sure. It doesn't say, just that they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it because the presence of God was so thick, for lack of a better term, was so magnified, so magnificently displayed. I long for that, don't you? Again, I don't know what it was like exactly, but I long for that kind of sense of his presence. Don't you? That you would just have to stop whatever you're doing, whatever you would normally do, and it was good stuff. You'd have to stop because of the presence of God being so, so overwhelming. Imagine that for a minute. Isn't it true that most of the time we just carry on with our routines and don't even recognize his presence? Aren't even aware that he's there? Shouldn't be the case, but often it is, isn't it? Often it is. Revelation 1 verse 17 tells us that John the Apostle, often called John the Revelator, when he had this kind of experience with the presence of the living God, he couldn't even stand on his feet. It bowled him over. I don't know where he fell, just to his knees or on his face before God, but he was so overwhelmed. That's going to be the case with us one day, I believe. One day we're going to be in the presence of God in that way in heaven, and we're going to be bowled over too. But I can't help but wonder, is it possible that we could experience more of that in the now? Even in the now. That we could get a taste of what this was like and what it will be like in the now. And could it be? Could it be that the overflow of our gratitude might just be what's necessary for that to happen? Could it be? Could it be that our thankfulness, our gratitude, our praise for how good God is could usher in a greater awareness of his presence? Speaking of that, the next passage I want you to look at is Nehemiah 12. It's on page 772 of the Pew Bibles. Just again, two verses we're going to look at. It says there that long ago, in the days of David and Asaph, there had been directors for the musicians and for the songs of praise and what? Thanksgiving to God. So in the days of Zerubbabel and of Nehemiah, all Israel contributed the daily portions for the musicians and gatekeepers. They also set aside a portion for the other Levites, and the Levites set aside a portion for the descendants of Aaron. See, God's people had been expressing gratitude to God and thanksgiving for a long time. Isn't that what it said? For a long time. Why? Because they saw the great value of thanksgiving praise. It wasn't just tradition for them. It was expression. They pulled out the stops, didn't they? When they expressed their gratitude, their thanksgiving to God. In fact, the text says they supported the accompaniment of this celebration of thanksgiving with personal contributions. So I think it's only appropriate that if we get our servers again, we're going to pass the plate one more time. What are you laughing about? This time for the praise team.
Amen, brother.
We're just going to take up a collection for the praise team. Well, wait a minute. At least the musicians. I mean, that's what they did. At least the musicians. That we're going to do that. And, well, earlier in the chapter, we didn't read the verse, but it even talks about the choir. So, guess what? You get a portion, too. this may surprise you, but I read blogs sometimes, people's postings and things, and there are folks who don't think it's proper for the church to spend funds on a praise team, or on musicians, or on choirs. They don't think that's appropriate. I guess money could be better spent. I beg to differ. And I think God would too, based upon our text. Don't you? Now I know it could be overdone. You know, perhaps, you know, too much investment there and not other places where it needs to be. But boy, there's an investment here, isn't there? And what about the gatekeepers? See, they got some too, right? Didn't they? The gatekeepers got some too. So I guess that'd be our ushers and greeters. So you guys are in too, right? Ushers and greeters. You know, contribution. We're going to pass that plate in just a little while. You ready for it? We're going to pass it. I'm teasing. We're not going to pass it. But we could. We could. I bet some of you didn't realize how important your role is. You ushers and greeters. You gatekeepers. But I know that rather than pass the plate, that what would show the most gratitude, what would be the greatest gratuity that you could give to our praise team, our musicians, our ushers, and our greeters is this. Do as the psalmist urges you to do in Psalm 100. That's page 937 in your pew Bible. Some of you are familiar with it. The psalmist says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people. The sheep of his pasture. Then after declaring that truth, with the knowledge of that, verse 4 says this. Enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. And come to his courts with praise. What's next to it? Give thanks to him and praise his name. Why? Verse 5 says, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now, I'm just going to look for an amen right now, not from the whole crowd, just from the praise team. If you've been on the praise team, if you're in the worship ministry, from our musicians, from our ushers and greeters. Wouldn't that give you the most pleasure, and wouldn't you appreciate that more than anything else that could be done or said, is that if they would do this? I'll ask for, I don't think I heard that. Amen. Right. So yeah, confirmation. And church now, do you understand that is the best way to express thanks to them is to express thanks to him? Do you understand that? Can you amen that? Amen it is. So be it. It should be that way. Absolutely. And I've stressed this before, but I believe it bears repeating. From that text, we shouldn't come to church expecting that a song service be provided just the way we like it so that we can get in the mood to express gratitude. No. You don't come in and wait to be spurred and prompted. And no, you enter with that already in your heart and already coming out of your lips. Now, what would that be like? Instead of waiting for the countdown, you're coming in, praising God. Now, would that always be in song? No, it might just be in, how are you doing today? Oh, I'm doing great. Praise God. Thanks be to Jesus that I'm able to be here. You know, maybe not everything in my life is going just the way I want it to, but boy, I have a Savior who's given his life for me, and I have the freedom to be here today. the mobility, the opportunity. Praise God. Coming in with that. And I get to praise Him today with the church, with the assembly. I know I do that. I should do that all the time, as we talked about last week. But that I can be together and collectively we can just express thanksgiving. And I'm so thankful. Not only for the opportunity, but for the inspiration that I receive when I'm here. To do that. To do that very thing. We should come through the doors already overflowing with an attitude of gratitude. That should be the mood. But again, let's be honest. That's not always how we're feeling. It's not always what we're feeling. We could be coming to church, and it's been a chore just to get here. It's been one of those mornings, you know, when things aren't going right, or boy, the day before, the weekend's been hard, maybe the whole week's been hard. You've heard bad news, sad news. Future's not looking too bright for you. You're not there. Maybe deep down you know you should be there, but you're not there. Just not. Maybe you were there an hour before service, 2 hours before service. And then there was this blowout, and I don't mean a tire. For some of you parents, you know, and oh my goodness, and now we're late, going to get there. And you know, you come, and boy, it's just frustrated, and you're... So maybe you're not there. Sometimes we need a little encouragement. Sometimes we need a little prompting. Sometimes we're going to need a little nudge in the right direction to be as grateful as we should be. Sometimes. And prayerfully, our worship ministry strives to be able to do that. Strives to. But to be honest, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's like trying to prime the pump on a well that's dry, or seems to be. Or maybe it's full of other stuff. Sometimes it can be that way. You can't stir up true gratitude in a heart of total discontent. Or at least it's pretty hard to. Let alone one that might be full of bitterness and resentment. Yet I'm convinced of something, that the Spirit of the living God can prime that pump. The Spirit of the living God can produce a well of living water within us that will overflow in gratitude. He can do that. How can He do that? Sometimes it's through others. Reminding us, encouraging us, prompting us. One way certainly He can do that is through the Word that He personally inspired. In Colossians 3, the Apostle Paul gives us an important message concerning this, I believe. It's page 937 in your pew Bibles. It'll be on the overhead for you. Verse 16, Paul says this, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Now, did you notice that the word of Christ dwelling in us can prompt the praise? Can, if you will, stir up the gratitude? The more that we know God's Word, have it planted in us, the more we read it, understand it, and what He's done for us. We know of that goodness of our good, good Father, and the loving kindness and His faithfulness. The more we're stirred up to thanksgiving. But the word can't dwell in you until it moves in you. And I mean moves into you. But once that word is there, once it takes up residence, an attitude of gratitude is sure to follow. It really is. And one thing I'm convinced of is the more that we grasp the greatness of God and the great things God has done, the more grateful we're going to be. And according to Paul, what will the result be? What will the result be? It'll be a celebration of Thanksgiving. And I'm not talking about pumpkin pie. I'm talking about something a lot more sweet and lasting and that we have all year long, every hour of every day. The peace and the joy of knowing God loves us. Our Father calls us His children. And He is here with us. His presence is with us and will never, ever, ever leave us. May we be overwhelmed today by the knowledge, the truth, that no matter what's going on in your life, God loves you. No matter what you're going through, God has proven that love by sending His Son. That you could look to the cross and know, I am loved, and God has better things than this plan for me. An eternity with Him in heaven. And for that, if He never did another thing, I should be grateful. I should celebrate Thanksgiving every day. No matter what else I might be doing. Because as we said, whatever you're doing, whatever you're saying, word or deed, give thanks. Express gratitude. Moms, guess what? Not that you should be doing this alone. Some of you dads can. I've done it. Okay. Rare occasions. When you're cleaning out the toilet, you can be saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When you're doing those nasty jobs, when you're picking up after somebody, when you're whatever you do, you can give thanks. And praise God. You know what? I just thought of that. Praise God that you got a toilet. Hey, there's a lot of folks in a lot of places in this world that don't. And it's a long walk, and it's not even to an outhouse. Got reason to be thankful? We do. But the more that we understand what God has done for us, is doing for us, how blessed we are, the more gratitude is going to flow out in everything that we do. We got reason to be thankful, folks. Have you been redeemed? Amen. Let the redeemed say so. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name. And where do I start? The list is so long. Thank you for life, for love. Thank you for the good things we've experienced. I thank you, God, for the promise of eternal life with you in heaven. I thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus. I thank you for the church. I thank you for every member of it. I thank you for them using their gifts and abilities and talents to serve one another and to reach out even into the community and try to make a difference for others, to be compassionate and kind. I thank you for that. I thank you, Father, that we have voices to praise you and that you put into our hearts the knowledge of you. That when we're really, really aware of it and who you are, well, we just can't help it. Thank you. And all those who agree say, amen.